Now that people are hunkering down almost everywhere in the world, wildlife is feeling the repercussions, mostly for the better. But in the case of some birds who have not just adapted to, but capitalize on human presence, sometimes for the worse. Several national and state parks have been providing live cams showing birds and mammals thriving, visiting park sections that are usually too choked with people. And people have been posting photos of coyotes walking right down empty streets in major downtown areas. The sky over Los Angeles is shockingly clear and beautiful right now. Even though a bustling economy is obviously a very important thing, I wonder how happy Californians will feel watching that beautiful clean air shift back to the city's ever-present smog when life gets back to normal, or whether people will insist on a new, cleaner normal. The first time I visited Los Angeles in 1994, I was shocked at the yucky yellowish-brown haze, but my cab driver said it looked ever so much better than it had in the 60s and 70s before the Clean Air Act was passed and California set stricter requirements for auto emissions than anywhere else in the country. They need such strict standards because of the combination of their huge population, warm climate, and California's topography, which traps pollution west of the mountains. Even with their strict standards, during the time I spent in California on two visits during my big year in 2013 and my visit this past summer, I never saw the kinds of clear skies that we take for granted in Minnesota. Some Californians who don't travel much may be shocked seeing just how blue the sky really is, or at least is supposed to be. The shift for them must be even more dramatic than my own shock at how blue the sky was after I had my cataract surgery. Some urban birds will do just fine. Earthworms, insects, and fruit trees will provide all the basic fare robins need. But birds used to picking up dropped food by city dwellers, including gulls, pigeons, house sparrows, and starlings, may have more trouble getting food. I wonder about the ravens Russ and I saw at the Grand Canyon back in 2011. We watched them open people's coolers in their truck beds and raid dumpsters. Ravens are, of course, opportunistic omnivores, so they should be fine, but they'll probably have to find some new sources of food to make up for the easy pickings they're used to. Millions of birds and other wildlife are killed by cars every year. This year, that number will go down, but it's the kind of thing only insurance companies keep track of when people make a claim because of car damage or human injury, so we'll never know how many songbirds, squirrels, porcupines, and other animals lived that would normally have been killed, and we won't know how many scavengers, such as turkey vultures and bald eagles, are going a little hungry this year. I'm trusting that companies with office space and big city high-rises that had to shut down temporarily are keeping the office lights out, which may reduce the number of nocturnal migrants attracted by lighted windows who collide with buildings. My favorite story of all regarding how animals are benefiting from us humans giving them some space for a bit comes all the way from Hong Kong, where a pair of giant pandas have been living together at the Ocean Park Zoo for 13 years with no sign that they were the least bit interested in mating. Now, with all the human gawkers gone, the pair have started going at it with gusto. Belonging to the same household, they don't need to worry about social distancing from each other, but apparently social distancing from people was more essential than zookeepers realized. When I read the story about them, it instantly called to my mind a song popular when I was in high school. When When I listen to the news too long and feel my blood pressure rising, I'll think of those two pandas doing their part to ensure that the world of tomorrow is a joyful one. The very thought of baby pandas makes me happy. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.